Welcome to All In Definitely, interviews and insights to empower you to achieve personal and professional success through friendships, relationships, and marriage. Here are your hosts, Anwar and Sianna.
And we're back.
Okay.
I got to say that I really enjoy the whole deconstructing the breakups to understand what makes a relationship better.
How and a lot of the theme of yeah, because we've been talking about in the two episodes prior to this, we were talking about how to stay together in a relationship that you're not done with yet, just because someone's made a mistake. And the first what we talked about before, two episodes ago, was cheating situation. Yeah. We also talked about
jealousy
and yeah. clinginess. I got some other topics I want to talk about. So let's just keep going with it.
Yes.
All right. So we talked about a lot of times people will talk about finances.
Yes, that's a very important one.
This episode, we're going to move a little bit faster because I want to talk about, there's a couple more topics here I want to jump into, but finances, where does that lie in a relationship?
I think it's one of the most important ones. Actually, you know how I like talking about my first marriage, and that was one important part of our breakup. You know, we talked about this recently privately. You were mentioning joint bank accounts. And I was like, oh, that's a no-no. And then our friend Shirley was like, oh, yeah, we shared everything. And I was like, okay,
yeah.
If that works for you, that's awesome. But it did not work for me. And it did not work for me because I would feel that I was working for whatever expenses he wanted to make, you know. And I never felt like, you know, my money was mine. But it was us instead. And that was a lesson that I learned from that relationship. And we've said before in the show, if it works for you, keep doing it. It did not work for me. And I don't think I'll continue to do it. I think that that's part of the independence that we should have in a relationship. I'm okay with having a joint account as long as it is not your only account.
You know? And what you're referring to is when we were talking about, it had come across the internet. That couples that share bank accounts stay together longer.
Right.
And I sent that over to you.
Yeah.
And you were like, I'm not sharing my bank account with everybody. But I mean, obviously it makes perfect sense when you think about it. It's like if you're financially tied into a relationship,
yeah,
chances are you're gonna stay there longer.
True.
Because it takes a lot to untie that,
yeah,
that crazy. But also, I mean, is that the way you wanna be stuck into a relationship?
Exactly.
So this is not about having the longest possible relationship. This
exactly.
is about having a flourishing life and having your relationships work for you. You don't work for your relationships. It's a big difference on things. And it's something I said was like, you know, when you believe in a marriage and people will say that, you have to work at it. You have to, you know, try hard. I don't believe that. I believe that your marriage should work for you.
Yeah.
You shouldn't work for your marriage. And both sides.
Yeah.
I'm not saying one person, you know, both sides. I don't believe in mixing things financially up, although you can have one account that's joined. But that's not your main account. That's what you
exactly.
use to join, you know, shared expenses. And if you think about it, all roommates that live together,
yeah.
roommates basically have their own joint share all the bills in any account, and they don't have a problem
exactly
with, you know, even though they don't have the, you know, a joint account.
But it's, the issue here is when there are financial problems. So it's not only about whether they have a joint account or not, is when the money is not enough, and that's mm-hmm. causing the breakup.
You know, I don't know anyone that makes enough money. Everybody complains about money.
Right?
Like it's just never going to be enough. No matter how much you have, you just need a little bit more and you'll be fine. You know, when it comes to a relationship, it's so funny to see, because when I travel around the world,
uh-huh.
I see people that barely make any money.
Yeah.
Barely. And they're so happy together.
Yeah.
Because money is not a factor. I think that What we're mixing is what are the things that I want to do with my money,
exactly,
and what are my responsibilities. And life in America is expensive, and by the way, it's getting more expensive. But I mean, it's really like, I have my money and this person is bad with money. They're not paying their bills. So I have to compensate for that. I have to always look out and
or they're making bad decisions with the money, with their money. Correct. You know? And that's the thing. Like, I think the problems would lay more, I don't know if you agree, but would lay more in the fact that we might or might not have joint accounts, but your bad decisions with your money have dragged me into this situation where now we both don't have any money.
Correct.
You know?
And to be very clear, we don't, you and I both agree on the fact that you don't have to have a licensed marriage
exactly.
to be married. And by the way, you don't have to have a joint bank account to be married. I think you have a more enriching marriage if you have separate bills.
Yeah.
Now, if you're obligating yourself to be on part of the lease with someone that you know is not good at paying the lease, then maybe you shouldn't be in that a live-in marriage. Maybe yeah. you should live separately and be married.
Yeah.
Or maybe you should let that person, you know, there's various ways that we can deal with this. In fact, I had the study here somewhere over there. I'm just saying it from memory right now, where we're saying that there has been a 25% gain from 2000 to 2009 of people that are married and choosing to live separately. And part of it is financial. But the other part of it is the sense of independence.
I think you said like 4 million people or something like that.
Right.
Four million Americans.
And this does not include like military people that are required yeah. to live separately. These are people that are actually married and choosing to live separately based on the U.S. Census report.
And
this is just the way they, and I think that's a great idea because you're choosing to be married, but you're like, this person is probably not good with their finances. I'm better off. They let them live at home yeah. with their mom. Yeah. I'll live on my apartment.
Or maybe this person cannot afford to be on his own. Like you mentioned a good point. They're living with their family. Maybe the family cannot afford for them to leave the house.
Correct.
You know?
They have to be obligated to help.
Exactly.
Their family,
there can be different situations, and it makes everything better for everyone if we just live separately, and that's perfect.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So, and this is where. So I guess we're agreeing on this topic. If you're in a relationship where finances is a problem, and there's not enough money, and there's children involved, be responsible for your as much as you can for yourself. And if someone is dragging you down, that's probably something yeah. that you should have stay away from. And then
yeah.
and then don't let them affect your credit, you know, signing credits and yeah. things like that. Try to be as separate as you can be. It's life, so it's always going to be there. It's always going to happen. This is going to be one of the forcing factors. But if somebody is not responsible to handle things, or bad things happen and you lose your job and you have to figure out ways, and this you have to keep
yeah
going, you know, you have to keep the best you can. So
well, there's another thing that I was thinking now that's more in the surface of all this. Like, I remember my mom's friend was concerned because she had a joint account with her husband, and she saw like a big amount of money that he took. And she was concerned, thinking that he was cheating, that, you know, what could have happened, and this and that. And is that he had bought expensive jewelry for her.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah. and she was going through all this. Like, she told my mom, oh, my God, I think he's cheating and this and that. And it was her birthday gift.
Oh, my God. You know?
So those are the problems when you have a joint account, that yeah. you can see that as well.
Yeah. But, you know, I can tell you some things. The best I can is to, like, stay, you know, below your means the best you could. And you know, bad things happens where somebody loses a job, or yeah. your car breaks down, or you get in a car accident, or something happens that alters the way that you do things. And this, there's no way to plan for the unseen. But not living above your means, trying to minimize, and don't limit yourself by you having to live together in the beautiful house. You don't even have to live together at all.
Exactly.
You can live separately and exactly. still be married. So it's not something that you need to, and when you change the way you look at your marriage will have many different ways to flourish. So finances is always a challenge. It's a limited resource for everyone. And I have met a lot of people, but I haven't met anyone that's overpaid. They're all underpaid. And, you know, trying your best to not live the fantasy marriage, to buy the big first house, or yep. to have the dream car, yep. or to have the designer clothes. Don't take out loans if you don't need to. And definitely don't, you know, use credit as much. Try to use as least as you can. But bottom line is trying to best keep your finances separate and keep your responsibilities tied.
Yeah.
That's the best way to have a great relationship, because nothing's worse than divorcing someone because of finances.
Yeah.
Than divorcing someone that ruins your credit.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the worst.
You have a double
because now
trouble.
You can't even start over.
Yes.
You know, and you don't want to be in a situation like that. Let's talk about something else. Weight gain.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm serious.
No way.
I'm serious. Why'd you take that? That was like
that's so superficial.
It's a big issue in marriage.
Then I'm in trouble. I've gained like 20 pounds while being with Peter.
You've been in school. I don't think you ever move. You're like the lightest shade of white I've ever seen.
It's awful. But like, are you serious? Like, yeah. How superficial is that?
I don't think that's.
So you will break up with somebody because she gained weight?
Absolutely not. I mean, that's not going to be.
Then how you don't think that's superficial?
I hear people talk about it all the time.
So, but it's still superficial.
I try not to judge these things. To me, it's not.
It's superficial.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's superficial.
Are you kidding? Oh, you know what? You've gained 10 pounds. I think we should break up. Yeah, this is not working anymore. You're fat. What the hell is that?
I have seen it happen before.
Oh, God.
I have counseled a couple before.
No way.
I kid you not. And he's like, I said, you know, I won't say their names, but I said that I wouldn't even think about it. Because here's what I would do. Like, we all gain weight, and yes. You know, your body's not going to stay as tight as it can be
exactly.
Forever and ever. At some point, you're going to lose some of that. And building good habits together, and you know, for example, if you're a couple and you like to go on walks together or hiking trails together, and you do these things,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden, your spouse gets, you know, starts a new habit of drinking with their friends or whatever the case may be, happy hours, and then no longer wants to go on your hiking trails with you, and maybe they gain weight. Is gaining weight the problem, or is the fact that they're
not flourishing
with you?
Exactly. I think that is not gaining weight in that example.
I'll tell you that what happened with the couple that I was talking about is that she was just stressed out at work. She has a very stressful job, and I guess she started gaining weight. And she had to go to the doctor and see what's the problem with her hormone levels. Why is she gaining weight? The doctor put her on a keto diet. She lost a lot of weight. And I was saying, I was talking to the husband. I was like, were you serious about were you using that as a motivation to get her to lose weight and get in shape? Or were you really serious? Like you were on your last, you were about to leave and walk out the door. And he says, no, I was about to leave. Like she gained weight. I don't want a fat chick. And I said, I can't see how you would say that to your wife. Like this is something that if she's in need, if she doesn't want to do something and she's like, no, I don't want to make myself better. I can see where you're losing interest.
Exactly.
But it's not because she's obviously trying. She's actually trying. You don't leave somebody like that.
No.
You're like let's go work together. And he's, you know, his answer to me is like, you're a better man than me. He's actually said,
oh my God.
You're a better man than me. If he ever listens, he's going to know who he is.
But, is it Peter?
No.
Because I'm breaking up with him.
No, not Peter. No.
I'm your bestie.
Great couple. No, I will.
You should give me the warning.
I'm going to tell you when we're not recording.
Don't even tell me. I'll hate this person.
But no, I mean, it's like I don't judge people. Like if you want to be physically attracted to your spouse, and you're no longer physically attracted to your spouse, to me that's. To me, my marriage is about something else. But for some people, that's true. What their marriage is about.
Yeah.
So I can't say my way is more right than somebody else's way. I have my values, and somebody else has their values.
Did.
But I mean, I don't think that's a
no.
A fair
and I think
statement.
You're right. I think you're right. But and it's something about like I don't the my reasoning here is that maybe it's not the fact that they gained weight is what happened.
The habits.
Exactly. What happened with them gaining weight, you know?
That's what I was thinking the problem was.
Exactly.
But no, they was like, no, I don't care what the reason is.
Yeah.
It could be it could be their thyroid issue that they have no control over.
Oh my God.
If she gains weight, I'm not going to be there anymore. So guys, so some people think this way. I'm not going to say male, female, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But that is an issue, and everybody, like I think like 60% of America is probably overweight or obese or something like that.
Yeah.
But that is an issue. Weight gain is an issue, and I would just say create habits in your marriage that force you to eat together. If you're gaining weight, it's likely because of two things, and it's only two things. If it's nothing else biologically wrong with you, which not majority of the time it's nothing wrong with you, where yeah. scientifically, I would say if you value physical fitness or the appearance of physical appearance, I would say create habits in your marriage that have you cook together. Because your eating is how you gain weight, and then activity, like staying yeah. active, and keep living in that joint relationship. Don't go jogging by yourself. Go for jogs together. Do CrossFit together. Challenge each other to eat healthier. Those reasons, yeah. but start that from the beginning. Don't just take advantage for the fact that or take for granted that you're 25 year old when you get together and you can go have beer
yeah.
and eat like a Taco Bell and not gain a pound, because that will change. That will guarantee 100% change, and you will start when you stop metabolizing that fast, you will put on weight. So if that's an issue, create a health plan and create a cooking. And by the way, this happened when I was married. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love cooking at home with my spouse. Absolutely love it. It's a great thing. I don't even care how it comes out.
It's a good experience.
It's just a great
together.
Experience. Yes. Like you know, one time I was when I was married, I had a turkey sandwich. We had a turkey sandwich candlelight dinner, right? And we made like, and I was just like, this is so good. Like, it was just having, we were having like pomegranate juice and that. And it was just like a great meal. And even that was so much fun for me. It was right? better than going to a relationship. So if that's something you like to do.
A restaurant.
Yeah, a restaurant, yeah. if that's something you like to do in your relationship, start those habits. But, you know, don't take for granted that you're young and that you're not going to always look good or you know you're always going to be in shape. That's look at your grandparents. You eventually oh get God. There. You know you're not going to stay tight forever and yeah. beautiful forever. It's not going to happen. But if you do things together that are physical fitness and you cook together, I think you'll have a much more richer relationship.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to keep going here. We got a
yes,
couple more
please.
To talk about.
Keep this one, because this one makes me not happy.
Okay. Someone that's too cheap, they call it frugality. If it's too cheap, is that a problem? Could that be a problem?
I think so.
This person doesn't want to spend any money at all. And let me tell you something.
It's funny.
I think it's funny because I think that you want to save money when you're at yes. a younger age. And I don't believe that anyone younger than 40, unless things like a luxury model car or dress with like Gucci and whatever, unless what you do is part of that sales. For example, if you're into high-end real estate, you can't go walking yes. around in like, you know, looking like you just got off a surfboard.
Yeah.
Right? Like you should look the part for what you're doing. Now, outside of that, if you're working the regular job, don't spending all this money. Like, be frugal with your money, because it comes, yeah. it's hard to come and it's quick to go.
Yeah.
So I believe in that. You know, there's no need to drink at Starbucks every day. I don't exactly. care how good Starbucks is. Make your own coffee at home. I mean, if you know, save your money. Now, at the same time, you're not going to take it with you. So after you pass this stage of your marriage when you're kind of like, you know, you're being as cheap as you can, you're eating as cheap as you can, you're saving all your money, at some point you have to enjoy spending it.
Yes.
I mean, I can see that as a problem in a marriage. What do you think?
Absolutely, yes. And I mean, obviously in this case, it's something excessive. So, yes.
Do you spend more money? Does Peter spend more money?
Well, right now it's kind of the same, because he pays for the house.
Right. Well,
that's a lot.
Yeah, but you don't make. I shouldn't use you as an example, because you're actually
exactly.
in school
I'm
half
a
the time. You're studying.
I'm a student.
You're studying law school.
But
like, you know, I don't know. 10
in
hours.
General, like when we first started dating, I think I paid more, because uh-huh. it was hard for him. He had to like adjust to the new, you know, like sharing expenses and living together and the whole thing. And I was more like experienced in that way. And so I was like, it's okay, I got this. You figure it out. And in the meantime, I got us. But that made him be a little stingy. And, and so I did had that conversation with him of like, listen, like, it has to be shared. You know, we got to share here because it's nice. And as independent and strong-minded woman as I consider myself, I do like and enjoy at times when we go for, you know, we go out on a date and he says, oh, don't worry, I'll pay today. You know, normally we share when we split it. But I do enjoy when he says, oh, here, I bought this for you or whatever. You know, I think that's good. That's good in a relationship. So,
but also not too much.
Like, no, there has
to be,
no.
Like, and this is a good way to look at it. Being honest where you are, because you can always say to yourself, you know, YOLO, you only live once, spend it, enjoy it, whatever the case may be.
No.
But that's going to affect you later on when you don't have any money. And that's something we just talked about, which was finances. Saving your money is great. But having a shared goal is what matters most. So for example, if you're younger than 40, and this is just a number, you know, you got to see where you are in your life and it's relative to your own situation. But basically saying to yourself, listen, we're going to save money for X amount of years so we can put down on a house. And then we're going to save money in a separate account to just blow it on a trip to Bali or wherever the case may be.
Yeah.
So you can enjoy spending, but also you can enjoy saving. Using the both as a one to hedge against the other. Like, you know you're saving for your future with this person, but you also are saving for a way to just enjoy without worrying and just take a trip somewhere.
And Bali could be, let's just go tonight to McDonald's together. I got you.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah. Like, I'd be like, I'm taking you out to a nice restaurant.
Exactly.
Or just, you know, let me just go for a couple's massage along the beach.
Yes.
You know, something like
it
that.
It can be something simple. It can be something cheap. But just keep in mind that, you know, it's a part of the relationship to keep that, I don't know, like flame, like, you know, the passion going. And part of that is, you know, it's spending a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you something, the way I was in my marriage, and I'm just, I actually have it written down somewhere, but I don't have it with, it depends on where I am financially and what I'm doing. But like, I would take 25% of the money that I made and have that, you know, put aside 25 to 30% to put aside to pay for all the bills and everything. Because, you know, my wife never worked. And then I put 50% of my money towards, like, that's 25%. 50% of it I put towards investment and reinvestment into the businesses.
Yeah.
Right? So, I'm sorry, like, sometimes it would be like 25% saving and then 25% reinvesting. That's what it was. And then I had a 25% that I would just spend.
Yeah.
And I would just enjoy with my wife and we would just go somewhere. Now, that changed because telling you, what the reason why I don't have the hard numbers is because it was a month-to-month or quarter-to-quarter scale.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the same, I didn't at that time have a consistent income.
Right.
Because, you know, I run my own businesses. So sometimes it would change. But I would always use those, like, this is how much we're saving this quarter. This is how much we're investing. This is how much we're going to spend on our bills, and we're going to enjoy this amount. And whatever that was, I would enjoy. I would just absolutely enjoy it.
Yeah.
So being too frugal robs you of experiences.
Exactly.
Because if you just always eat the same rice and beans and you do the same things, I mean, you won't change your experiences at all.
Exactly.
So that's more like how you enjoy your relationship, is you do something different or something fun or something exciting.
And it doesn't have to be expensive. It just has to be different.
Exactly.
So what's the next one?
I have to talk about this.
Oh, God.
It's actually number two on the list. It's called bad sex.
Oh, for sure. That's a reason to break up.
Is that a reason to break
Absolutely.
Up?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because sex, it's an important part of a relationship.
Good
sex.
Yeah, I was saying bad sex. What is bad sex? I would think I would think that's a...
Okay, what is bad sex?
I would think it's majority a female issue.
Okay, I think this is the last point of the episode. Yeah. Okay, Anwar, tell me, what is bad sex?
God, I mean...
From a male perspective.
This got uncomfortable all of a sudden.
Tell you what I think bad sex is.
Okay, you go, please.
For example... Selfish sex, meaning when one party reaches the...
Finishes before the other.
Orgasm or climax before the other, yes.
Are you talking about the male? Because I don't think has a problem with that.
Well, exactly. So if the guy finishes before and completely forgets about the women, the thing is, well... I haven't had experience with the same sex, so I don't know in that case. But women and men, when the man finishes first and forgets about the woman, it's selfish. I see it as selfish. Okay. And it might be in certain situations okay, but in a long-term relationship, it can be problematic. And eventually, it's part of bad sex.
Okay. Let's just first clarify.
Something. I gave you time about it.
Yeah, I'm going to clarify. In thinking about it, let me clarify these things.
Okay.
There's a big difference between no sex and bad sex.
Okay.
Okay. No sex is a reason to get a divorce.
Okay.
Do we agree with that?
I mean, no, not necessarily, because what if both parties agree
and
to that?
I don't think that's a marriage then. I think that's a friendship.
That's okay, but
that's one of my requirements is that you have sex. So it's like a.
This is separate. We're talking about bad sex. Don't try to.
So we're not saying that's what I'm saying. Exactly. If you don't have sex, you're not in a marriage. In my definition of a marriage, one of the requirements is that you have sex.
Okay.
Right, because that's just make that clear. You're only having sex with the person that you're actually married to, and I think that's a great part. Now, yes, ideally. Now, bad sex is a different story. Bad sex is like anticlimactic sex. Is that what we're saying bad sex is?
Yeah.
Anticlimactic? Okay.
Well, for at least one, because it doesn't necessarily... what I was saying is bad sex in my books, and one person can reach the climax.
I see. Look, males have very few biological benefits. We probably have lean muscle mass that exceeds yours, that exceeds females. But... You know, we probably can pee in public easier, but then also males can reach orgasm a lot easier.
Exactly.
Right. That's the thing. So let me fix this problem real quickly for all the people out there that's having bad sex. Let me just suggest something, and I'm going to throw this out there.
Dr. Love.
Why don't you be responsible for your own orgasm? And here's what I mean. I think that there's a lot of... toys, there's a lot of ways that you can reach orgasm and enjoy your sexual relationship with your partner. And maybe your partner is, you know, very excited to see you. Maybe he finishes first because he's just so excited to see you, but that doesn't mean anything stops. And there's a lot of toys, there's a lot of ways to engage in those things. And what I want to clarify here is that you're having sex with the only person that you're supposed to be having sex with. If you agree upon that in your marriage, that you only have sex with you, because I know there's some polyamorous relationships and there's polygamy. I don't know but in a standard relationship, where majority of the world believes in one man, one woman, or one couple, two women or two men, whatever that is, and that's your only sexual partner. In that, I still believe that you just be responsible for your own orgasm. I think that would fix the problem.
I disagree.
How can you disagree with that?
Because the whole point of sex,
mm-hmm.
as we're talking in this case with a relationship, because you can do that on your own. Like you were saying, exactly. But what you were explaining, you can do that on your own. So you wouldn't need somebody else because you have your toys, like you were saying. So you can have good sex with your toys, but we're talking about having good sex with your spouse.
No, what I'm saying is that that there's a lot of play.
Let me finish.
Go ahead.
So if you're trying to have good sex with your spouse, you should have like a relationship. Like it should work both ways. And both parties are responsible for the orgasms of the other. And that ensures good sex.
That's and there's no denying that.
Because if you're responsible for your own orgasm,
right?
What if the other person needs your help?
That's fine
for their own orgasm.
That's fine too. You can encourage that, right? But what I'm saying is that there's a lot of people out there that struggle with this concept. A lot of people out
yes,
there that
I, yes.
I know about, right?
It's not easy for everybody. I think there's a lot of
Factors involved
that should be done.
But there's also there's also like maybe, you know, a lack of passion,
yes.
Health issues. There's a series of things that can affect the whole marriage. But what you can do is engaging in if you could just start with the mindset of a sexual experience with your husband or wife or whatever the case may be, your spouse, and you say to yourself, and you're coming to yourself, you're like, I'm responsible for my own orgasm, and I orgasm better with these tools and these ways, and you discuss that with your spouse,
mm-hmm.
right?
And before sex.
Before.
Okay, but that's different.
That's what they need to do. But you're still responsible, though.
That's fine. But I thought that you went to the action knowing that you are responsible for your orgasm, and now you have to make it happen for yourself.
No.
Okay, I misunderstood.
No. I wasn't saying that. I was saying that you are responsible. So you're going to the only person that you can go to.
Okay.
In the world, and you're saying, hey, I didn't like these things, or maybe this thing wasn't working for me last time, but look, I have some ideas here. Here's some tools. Let's work together.
So communication helps to have better sex.
Not assuming that person has to do something for you. Exactly. You're responsible for you.
Okay. I agree. Okay.
And then that person is responsible for them.
Okay.
And once you do that, I think that you swing the tides. It's really that simple.
Yes.
Nobody knows your body better than you.
Yeah.
And this is part of our biological being, and just, you could say it's a spiritual experience, but basically you know exactly where your spots are.
Yeah.
And you know if your spouse has everything it takes to get there, or you have to use tools.
Help.
or you have to use adult toys. And I think that's just no problem with that. To me, sex is not dirty.
To a lot of people,
if they go to a store to buy tools and vibrators, but they think that once you incorporate other things other than the natural sexual experience, other than the natural way, anything else could be dirty. I don't think so. I think it's if somebody has not explored those extra things, you are missing out on a major part of life. You should just enjoy that. And sometimes you can institute that from the beginning. You will have a great experience. So if you're having trouble with bad sex in your marriage, my suggestion to you is, number one, you take responsibility for your own orgasm. You know what's going to get you there. You share that with your spouse.
Yeah.
And you try new things. And I think you're going to have a great time.
And feedback. That's important, because I've heard of situations where there's no feedback. And you don't know,
and you just have what's going on up in the air kind of idea.
Yeah,
like
you're trying things, new things with somebody, and there's no feedback on the other end.
Right,
and you are like, "Is this working? Isn't it working?"
Yeah.
Like, I think feedback. It's important.
Feedback is always important.
Yeah,
but start talking in the beginning. Like start like I'm not like one of these people. Like, you turn the lights off, everything is dark. No, I turn all the lights on. Let's start talking.
I'm sure some people will think that's bad sex.
No. It's the best. But remember something. You know what gets you to where you need to be. I know what gets me to where I need to be.
Yeah.
And communicating those things are the best things that you could do in your marriage. Taking responsibility for your own life is always 99% of the solving the problem.
Yeah.
Taking accountability. But in there's no exception when it comes to sex or bad sex. Just that you're having sex, please do have, you know, in your relationships, please do. But you have to take bad sex, and if you know it to be bad and you're having a bad experience, don't let that prolong. There's too many toys. There's too many things. There's too many experiences. Enjoy them together because they'll just bring you closer together.
Well, but it's also part of the problem, because what if you don't know that it's bad sex where you're providing to your partner? Like, your partner should also tell you, hey, you know.
You'll know really quickly your spouse is not satisfied. If you don't know your spouse is not satisfied, you'll know. You'll know. Trust me, you'll know. So,
and if you don't, try to figure it out.
Try to communicate as best as you can. Like, that's the best way
to
do it.
Look for the feedback.
And I'll never say that, you know, marriage is going to be forever. I'm not saying that. I want people to stay together. And we're assuming that everything else in your relationship is good.
Yes.
But these one things, one at a time, is not working well.
Exactly.
And there's no way that if you know, you've been married for a long time and, you know, it just doesn't, the excitement is not there from the beginning. Communicate those things, try, but remember, you're always responsible for your own orgasm. Make sure that you communicate that with your spouse, and everything else will come together.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, that's our time for this show, and I really, it was a great conversation. And, you know, I can't wait to keep doing these. I will keep doing these shows always, and I hope we can get a lot of these topics done, keep the conversation going, because marriage is not forever. It's indefinite, but it can be forever. It can be a part of your growth. And we just have to keep having these conversations because it's always changing. And we have to make sure that, you know, the right frame of mind starts the relationship. It doesn't start with fantasy. It starts with the right frame of mind. And all of these topics are important.
Exactly.
So thank you for listening. If you have any, quick shout out to our sponsor, American Worldwide Academy. If you know anyone that needs a high school diploma or career training certificate, log on to careerhighschool.com and keep listening to us. Pass the word, talk about what we're talking about, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
You've been listening to All Indefinitely. Help us spread the word by subscribing and sharing the show.